Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In today's episode, Sandy LaRouse, the owner of Stillhouse Craft Gin Distillery, based in Namibia's coastal city of Swakopmund, walks me through how her business survived the lockdown and the uniqueness of the craft gin and its role in Namibia's gastronomy place. She tells me how they are the epitome of good spirits, from fermentation to distilling, all happening on site with bottling and labeling done by hand.
Hi, Sandy. Good morning, and welcome to our podcast, the VA Tourism Podcast. And it's good to accommodate us here.
Thank you.
Today in
you
Namibia
well.
And in Swakopmund in the Stillhouse. Happy Family Day.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
In this conversation, can you tell us more about the Stillhouse and your gin and what you do? I mean, introduce yourself to us.
I'm Sandy LaRouse. We started our little distillery here in the beginning of 2017. Currently, I produce two gins and a coffee liqueur. We also do some bitters and other small limited edition spirits. But the two gins, our Stillhouse Gin and our Stillhouse Wild, are our main lines. So they're the ones that we also distribute in various bottle stores, the lodges. Yes, and then we have done a small, really small little export as well. Currently, it's only myself and Jackson Shigweda that works here with me. Between Jackson and myself, he does the main slog, the main work. I focus more on the distilling, and I do all the marketing myself. So we do all the labeling, the bottling, everything gets done here by hand. So Jackson will fill every little bottle singly by hand. We don't have bottling machines, we don't have labeling machines. Every single label is applied by myself or Jackson, the corks, everything.
Does it affect the quantity in terms of the numbers?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we also very limited in quantity because of our distilling equipment.
Yes. Yep.
And the process. The other thing that limits us is because we make our neutral spirit ourselves here. A lot of the gin distilleries in Southern Africa, actually even in Europe, they buy in the neutral spirit or the base spirit for the gin. We here produce everything ourselves from scratch. So we'll make fermentations, we will then distill out the neutral spirit, then we go into the ginning and bottling, labeling. Everything is done here. So we literally go what they call from grain to bottle. Everything
perfect.
In this, the whole process is done here.
No matter the pressure. But again, sorry to catch you, but if you can take me through the process of, because initially in our conversation before the podcast, you told me about the seeds, how organic this thing is and all of that.
Yes. Yeah,
give me
so
a view of it.
Our ingredients for the gins, as I mentioned, the juniper, unfortunately, is imported. We go through a local little agent that gets them in for us. But most of the other botanicals that we use are grown locally, especially for our Stillhouse gin. That's very coastal specific botanicals. So we use things like the Nara that grows in the coastal dune belts. We use wild hibiscus. We use the fresh seaweed or sea lettuce actually for as a flavor enhancement. It really carries the flavors across nicely. So we really try to focus on locally grown botanicals where also we know they grow in nature. So there's no pesticides, there's no any funny chemicals or GM or whatever all the different things are called. So Yeah, we really try and focus on using only organic and,
okay.
and local herbs.
So with again, you mentioned that tourism is your backbone or is your main the engine room of your business. And now with tourism, as we know, because of coronavirus and traveling halted a bit, it's beginning to pick up. How has it been for you?
So this year has been, yes, really difficult, purely because most of the lodges, which are our, as you call it, backbone, they are our main clientele, we all know how things have looked on that
side. Across the board, yes.
Yes. Unfortunately, we had another spanner in the works this year in that we'd traveled overseas and were stuck there for 6 months. We couldn't come back because of the whole COVID. So the distillery was shut for 6 months. We had not a single sale. And life carries on. You still have to pay your rent. You still have to pay your salaries. And so it was a bit difficult for us. But since we got back in August, we managed to kind of catch up a little bit. The bottle stores, especially now during December time, business has picked up a little bit from just the local market. And obviously the little bit of tourism that has come in has definitely helped. But by
not sort of imagination that is the same. Yeah. I think it's going to take time because
absolutely.
That's a challenge. But now, looking at restarting tourism, and we've seen, well, when we were coming, we had 7, 8, 9, I think. So I think it was a Dreamliner aircraft and brought off over 300 people to Namibia.
Okay.
Now, the point I'm making is the fact that we are seeing some uptick in terms of numbers of tourism. How do you see things like gastronomy, which drinks play a key role? How can we take advantage of it to promote tourism, especially in Namibia?
So, you know what? I think, especially with this whole COVID thing, and people are going back to, I can't really call it the roots, but...
back to basics.
They're going really back to basics.
True.
They have been forced to source really what's available locally. You know, even when it comes to little things like growing vegetables and I find especially at the coast, when we got back, I was amazed at how many people had suddenly started growing vegetables and also it puts the whole focus on supporting local business. And I find that even the tourists, the few that are coming in, they want to know what's happening locally. What are people doing to be sustainable? What are people doing to help each other, along? And I find in gastronomy, it's a wonderful, actually, avenue to do exactly that, to work on the local and to use what's locally available and to make effort, especially with transport has suffered in this whole COVID thing. A lot of our fresh produce and things has come from South Africa, for example. But with transport being an issue, people have really been forced to look at local production. And I find generally throughout the world, craft falls under that local production. And tourists, they love that. They want to know what's happening locally. What foods are they eating? What are they drinking?
Yes, but I mean, the sense of what you've been doing pre-COVID, what do you get from the tourists in terms of the sense of how they see? Because you host a number of tourists. What's their impressions about things like this to a destination?
Yeah, they. I can see that they really are interested in what local, in case of our gin, for example, they are really interested in the local botanicals. What exactly are they used for other than putting them in gin, obviously? Like the Nara, the fact that it's used as a local sustainable its harvest sustainably. All these little things really interest them. You know, all the other botanicals like the wild hibiscus, what do they use it for? What parts of Africa does it grow in? How is it eaten? Is it processed in different ways other than jam, obviously? The baobab fruit that we put in. So they are really interested in what happens locally as far as foods and the preparation thereof and so on.
Okay. Now, wrapping up our conversation, what do you think is the positive things that we've learned from the pandemic, from your business perspective? And I mean, from what you do in relation to tourism?
Well, it certainly put us on our toes as far as we need to, I think, to a certain extent, to regroup and rethink business a little bit. We've also learned that we need to really rely more on the local production of certain things. It's not all doom and gloom. I think some good things have come out of this whole pandemic. It doesn't feel like it sometimes, but it really, if you look deeper, it really has brought...
You can see a few things.
And also just with local markets, you know, just to support each other, help each other. I think that's really come out quite strongly.
Okay, finally. And you know, looking forward to an accelerated tourism restart. What would you say people should come to Steelhouse Atlantic, you know, place? What's your message to them?
Well, I'd love them to come and see how we go about things.
What is a special thing that they need to come to Swak want or any of your outlets, if you have any?
Yeah, I think our gins definitely are top-class gins. Also the production thereof, the fact that we're not using mass-produced processes or mass production, the fact that everything is done locally and by hand, and I'm sure people will be really interested and enjoy the tastings as well that we offer. We do food pairings sometimes as well for bigger groups. So anyone's welcome here. Yeah, come and taste and have a look at see how we do things.
Sandy, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for your time.